Hello, friends. Welcome again to another episode of the Potluck Podcast. I am Jared Cornutt. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, J.R. Parks and Alan Murray. Guys, how are y'all doing this evening?
Doing all right. How about y'all?
I'm doing well. A little tired, but doing well.
Well, that's great to hear. It was a nice, like, 82 degrees here today, and so that was a nice welcome change from the 106 over the weekend. And so that was good to see. Well, guys, it's this topic that we're going to talk about comes up ever so often, and it has come to us again. But I think there's been a little bit more, I would almost say, heavyweight names getting involved in the conversation. And the question is this: should Southern Baptist continue to be Southern Baptist? And what I mean by that is the name of the convention, not the denomination, because we're not a denomination, we're a convention. And a lot of the argument is, well, the Southern Baptist, well, one is that perhaps that there are some negative connotations to the name because of how the convention originally got its name in the founding of the convention. Two would be we are no longer just primarily Southern churches, though we are predominantly in the South, but there are churches in every state that are Southern Baptist. And so a lot have been pushing for Great Commission Baptist, the Great Commission Baptist Convention. You know, a lot of people have different opinions on this. I saw a lot of people giving their thoughts. What do you think?
Well, you're right in saying that this discussion has come up several times. Of course, any Southern Baptist church has the ability now to call themselves Great Commission Baptist churches, which can be helpful as far as for some places identifying as what kind of Baptist that they are. I totally understand that for churches that are outside of the South, it seems peculiar to call yourself Southern Baptist. I've attended Southern Baptist churches outside of the South. As a matter of fact, I preached at a Southern Baptist church in Pennsylvania one time. And it's interesting for those churches. They have a Southern Baptist identity with the cooperative program, but not necessarily a Southern identity. Culturally, churches across the South are going to be different. The church culture in every church is different. In church culture from the South to the North to the West, Midwest, Northeast, it's all going to be different in every place. And so, of course, when we say Southern Baptist, we're not just talking cultural. Originally, we were talking geographical as the Northern and Southern Baptist churches split. And of course, they got the name the American Baptist. We didn't claim it. We took the name Southern Baptist in 1845. And so when I think of this discussion, I'm fine, of course, with any church already calling themselves a Great Commission Baptist church rather than a Southern Baptist church. And at the same time, I'm totally comfortable with the Southern Baptist Church calling themselves a Southern Baptist Church.
Yeah, that's kind of where I lean on this. Like you said, it's not a new thing for churches to be able to call themselves Great Commission Baptist. But as far as the SBC goes, I appreciate our history, warts and all, and I understand why some folks, particularly outside of the South, but in general, may want to refer to themselves as something other than SBC. I appreciate the name and respect churches that want to continue to be known as SBC churches. I don't know of any churches around here that have made that change. Do you guys have any near you?
Not that I'm aware of. All the churches around me identify themselves as Southern Baptist. But one of the things that I have found in my own personal experience, as well as the experience of a lot of people, is they can go to a Southern Baptist church and not even know that they're a Southern Baptist church. Have no idea what it means to be a Southern Baptist, which of course we want to explain what that means and what cooperation is and what identifies us doctrinally, the Baptist faith and message. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church and had no idea what it meant to be a Southern Baptist. A Baptist in the South, you know, is that strictly all that it is? And there are a lot of churches that don't have Baptist in the name whatsoever. you know, they're a community church or they're, you know, some kind of action verb church. You know, one of the largest churches in our denomination within my state convention is Summit Church. And for many folks, I've actually talked to people that went to Summit that didn't know that it was a Southern Baptist church. And that's not an indictment against JD or Summit or anything like that. But for some folks, they have no idea what the identity is, and so it doesn't matter to them anyway. Although I think it certainly matters and should matter.
Yeah, I'm not really sure of any. You know, this happened in 2012 in the Baptist Convention in New Orleans, and it was actually a pretty close vote, 53%, for allowing churches to either be used Great Commission or Southern Baptist Convention, or Great Commission Baptist. And actually, I think the controversy, not even controversy, but the conversation started again because when the new SBC logos came out, which we just talked about a few weeks ago on our podcast with Jonathan Howe, they made one that said Great Commission Baptist on it. I mean, I have one friend who pastors in Arkansas who he's pushing for them to be called Great Commission Baptist. Nathan Finn, former professor at Southeastern Seminary and now the provost at North Greenville University in Tigerville, South Carolina, has kind of made an argument towards it as well. I don't really care one way or another. I do think it makes a little bit more geographical sense. I think people assume outside of a Southern Baptist life that Southern Baptist churches are only in the South. So it helps geographically define. Two, it prioritizes our mission. You know, the Southern Baptist Convention is, again, not a denomination. It's an association of churches who come together for the propagation of the gospel to the ends of the earth through the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board primarily, and also by having seminaries to raise up and train and send missionaries and place pastors in churches and to do things like the ERLC, which is the policy initiative of the Southern Baptist Convention, trying to influence policy that's done in the United States. But, you know, there are good Southern Baptist churches and there are bad Southern Baptist churches. And unfortunately, bad Southern Baptist churches kind of give you a bad rap, just like any other denomination when that happens. But I think Southern Baptist in general, there's a lot of thoughts. So kind of like what you were talking about, Alan, there's a lot of people who they don't know their church, maybe Southern Baptist, because it's Grace Community Church or it's Village Church or Summit Church or whatever it is. And they're not going to explicitly get up there and state every Sunday that, hey, we're Southern Baptist Church. They may even do things like Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong. By raising, they may budget it for that each year and just give a portion of their budget to that instead of raising money above their budget for that. And so I know a lot of people who I've thought, you know, you go to a Southern Baptist church. Of course, I've met people who thought they've gone to Southern, they go to a Southern Baptist church and they don't go to a Southern Baptist church. So I don't care one way or another. I do think Great Commission Baptist helps with the geographical reasons. I think it helps further demonstrate the priority of the convention. This is the convention primarily exists for this reason, so that the gospel could be given to those who need to hear it. And I get people who don't want the name to be an excuse. We talked about this way back when we first started the podcast about taking Baptist out of your name of the church. Some people like to distance themselves from Southern Baptist because there is troubled history there with slavery. That the convention has denounced, but it's there. And so I get it on some ends. I don't think it'll ever largely happen, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. And I think around the same time that the new SBC logo came out. And of course there was an updated version of the Great Commission Baptist logo at the same time. There also seemed to be a push by, several folks, some articles in Baptist papers and some arguments being made on social media. So there was a push. There has been a recent push towards that from a handful of folks. And so I think that's kind of brought this conversation back to the forefront. I don't really care way, whichever one you want to call yourself. I do think it's important to talk about the network of churches that you're a part of and the missions work that we do and the stuff we're able to do through the cooperative program and all the things that we're able to accomplish as a result of being part of the SBC. But yeah, I've certainly spoken with folks usually outside the South, but occasionally even in the South who who think, oh, well, because they go to a Baptist church in the South, it's a Southern Baptist church, and it's not. Or there's a large SBC church up in West Virginia that I attend when I'm up there, and they don't really think of themselves as Southern Baptist, just because that's, you know, kind of an odd thought north of the Mason-Dixon, even though they do participate in Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong and the Cooperative Program and all of those things. So I think it's important to talk about our cooperative work together. I'm not that picky, whichever one of those two names, they're both available. You can both call you can call yourself either one of those. But yeah, there certainly is also some legal reasons why it'd be very difficult to ever officially change the final name of the convention. Which is one of the reasons why the alternate name came to being the way it did.
Yeah, I think it'll be, I think it'll come up in 2021 when we have our annual meeting again in Nashville. Like you said, it's the logistics of making a lasting, widespread change, I think, would be difficult. I'm not an expert in that. That's just what I've been told time and time again. But again, I think it's at a good place now where folks can identify one way or the other, because in as much as we have negative connotations that sometimes come along with being Southern Baptist, for some folks it doesn't matter what we do, what we change ourselves to, our names, whatever, they're not going to like us, and I get that. However, there are a lot of positive notations that come along with the name Southern Baptist as well. You think about Southern Baptist Disaster Relief and NC Missions. You know, for some folks, they make that identifier with Southern Baptist churches. And for some folks, you know, they're not watching Baptist Press. They're not watching the Biblical Recorder. They're not attending the annual meetings. They're not even familiar with these discussions. And so they may never know that they're even taking place. And to them, Southern Baptist is Southern Baptist was, is, and will be. And so it's not all negative. There's plenty of positives that's out there as well. And so we can, I think we can keep either identifier would be what I would say moving forward, if you ask me. But that's a decision that will have to be made by the convention if it ever comes up, because that's how we do things.
This brings to mind an interesting statement that I heard probably almost 10 years ago that I had never really thought about, where someone who wasn't SBC made the comment that SBC churches always have the cross in their logo. And that was basically as that being a marker of, you could tell it was an SBC church. And at the time I looked around and that seemed to be the case, at least in the handful of examples that I looked at, because my first thought was, that's not right. But I looked and was like, okay, well, maybe it is. Our church has a new logo that doesn't. So at the time we did, but now we don't. I don't know, is that something you guys have ever heard or thought about? That was a statement that kind of caught me off guard, and I was like, I've never really thought about that. Obviously, the SBC logo itself, having the cross and the globe and the word, we talked about when Hal was on, but that was a statement that kind of struck me.
I've never heard that or thought that. You know, the Methodist logo is the cross and the flame.
Yeah,
you always see that, and so I've never, I guess, probably for that reason, associated the cross with Southern Baptist churches, or nor have I ever heard that. And in fact, I don't think any church I've ever attended has had the cross in their logo. So I guess that it will be maybe even less SBC, but more regional, depending on where you live.
Yeah, I've never heard that. Church of God, United Methodist Church, ELCA Lutherans, Episcopalians, Anglicans. I mean, there are lots of denominations that have crosses in their symbols, yeah, and in their logos. Centerville, we don't have a logo. And so while it's definitely been in some, I would definitely not say that that's a watermark of Southern Baptist churches. It's a watermark of Christianity, but not necessarily Southern Baptist churches.
Yeah, and this was somebody down in your neck of the woods, Alan, who was not Southern Baptist, but I just, something that Cornett said reminded me of that, and like I said, at the time, it seemed like maybe it was true, but like I said, our logo has changed, and it seems like a lot of churches' logos have changed. Maybe that's not the case.
Well, let us know your thoughts. Do you think that the SBC should go by Great Commission Baptist, or just keep the SBC, or do you have a different name in mind? Do you think that we should be the Reverend Alan Murray Baptist Convention?
No, absolutely not. That would be a terrible name.
And make Alan the logo of the Sunday Baptist Convention. Alan holding a barbecue sandwich and smiling. That's the logo of the convention.
Sounds like a good idea for a restaurant, terrible idea for the convention.
You do kind of think that would look good on a barbecue restaurant.
On our Zoom logo, our Zoom background right now, I've got pulled pork that I made, so it's fitting. I think Potluck Baptist would be a more appropriate name.
Hey, I like that. Could you imagine? Would that mean that SBC This Week would no longer be the official podcast of the Sunday Baptist Convention, and we would actually move from the unofficial podcast to the official podcast since we have Potluck in the name? I think that's how that works.
I'm not on the payroll with the EC, so probably not.
Okay, there you go. There you have it.
Then every church would have to have a crock pot in their logo.
Who would be offended by that?
Here's the thing. That was a very un-Baptist thing for you to say, JR. Nobody has to have anything in their logo because we're autonomous churches. You don't have to have a logo. You don't have to use the SBC logo. And so while I think, you know, having if we're going to change our name to the Potluck Baptist, having a crock pot in your logo would be a great idea. You cannot force that on churches. We are a cooperating convention of churches, not a denomination. Shame on you, brother.
The guy who doesn't have a logo got upset.
Potluck Baptist, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, one potluck at a time. And that, I think that's a missionary strategy right there. Have a potluck.
Crock pot at a time.
People are going to come. You throw a potluck in Indonesia, people are coming. I guarantee you. They may not be a potluck that I would want to go to because I don't know if I would like Indonesian food or not. I don't think I've ever had it. But maybe that's a strategy our missionaries. I'll call Paul Chitwood this week and see if that's an idea for him. But we're going to move to our Southern culture topic tonight, and it's one that I have no experience with. And so I'm just going to mute myself and hand it over to Alan Murray.
Well, guys, it is the very beginning of September. And as far as I'm concerned, the very first week of September is set by the clock of dove season, which is just where I'm at and all, everywhere I've been in North Carolina, it's a huge deal. For us in North Carolina, we can't hunt on Sundays. And so for many states like Tennessee, their dove season actually opened on Sunday, September the 1st. But for us, it's always the first Saturday in September, and the first Monday in September is always Labor Day. And so the first Saturday of the month and Labor Day, it's always a big deal to go dove hunting. And it's a shame that you've not done any corn up because you live in Texas, and Texas has some of the best dove hunting in the states. I would love to go dove hunting in Texas, as a matter of fact. So you probably can't shoot them within your city limits, but I guarantee you there's some good dove hunting in your state. Maybe somebody in your church knows about it. Hunting season for most of us, nobody's been able to hunt anything since turkey season back in the spring. And so it's a huge communal event for many people. They'll do lots of cooking, lots of barbecue will be made, lots of doves will be cooked. I've heard of hunts with as many as 200 people going, where you'll spread out around a giant cut cornfield or sorghum field, soybeans, sunflowers, wheat fields, typically around agrarian areas. Power lines running through a field makes it so much better. But it's a very communal sport. Everybody gets around, shoots to a box and a half of shells, and maybe hits five birds because nobody can hit anything when they haven't picked up a gun in 6 months. And then you get to harvest these wonderful migratory birds. They're federally regulated because they do migrate so much. Many of them are banded, and you'll find where they're from different states. It's just a wonderful time. I love doing it. I have plans of going Saturday morning and then Monday as well. It's just a wonderful thing. And I'll talk about eating them in just a moment.
Yeah, dove hunting is something I haven't gotten to do in a couple of years, but it's usually get a group of friends together, and exactly like you said, you get a big group of friends together, and you're always staring at a cut cornfield and send a lot of birdshot into the air, and bring home a few dove, and it's a lot of fun. I will say, if you're going to go, make sure you know what a dove flying through the air looks like, so you do not shoot the wrong type of bird. Because you can, you know, you shoot a, let's say you're in North Carolina, you shoot a cardinal, for instance, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. So make sure you know what a dove, what a flock of doves looks like flying through the air, so you don't get, before you, you know, start unloading your shotgun. And there are specialized rules, no more than 3 shells in your gun here in North Carolina, and other things like that that you want to be aware of. But it's an absolute blast. It's a good opportunity to get together with your friends and hang out, shoot guns a whole bunch, and bring home a little bit of meat. And I do mean a little bit of meat.
You only get in trouble if you get caught. That's the thing you need to remember, though.
Well, we now know that Jared Coronado is the licentious one in the group. And I appreciate your pun, JR. It is a blast because you're using shotguns, and it's lots of shooting. If you like to shoot, and you don't mind a bruised shoulder, it's a great sport to participate in. I love eating doves. One of the guys from Duck Dynasty, their Church of Christ, so their baptism views are all wrong, but he said that doves are the filet mignon of the sky. I think they're delicious when they're prepared well. They're a little gamey. It is a dark meat. A lot of folks around here like to make doves and rice. My absolute favorite way to make them, and they don't have a ton of meat. You're not eating the whole bird most of the time. You're de-breasting the bird. I fillet the breast meat off the breastbone, and then I take a pat of cream cheese, either fresh or pickled jalapenos, and then wrap all of that in bacon and then cook it on the charcoal grill. And right before it's done, baste a little barbecue sauce on it and make like little dove poppers with jalapenos and cream cheese. It just melts in your mouth, especially cooked over charcoal. It's just lovely. Super easy bird to eat. It's a great introduction for a lot of kids. Some of their first hunting they'll ever do is going to a dove hunt. And so I would commend it. If you ever have the opportunity to do it, make sure you're legal, have your license, have your HIP certifications, federal certifications to do it. It's easy. It's inexpensive. You can use cheap shotgun shells or stuff. I'm going to be shooting around $5 a box. And I just love it. It's a great opportunity to spend some time with one another in a communal setting, enjoy some good birds, and enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah, the way you just described cooking dove is the way that everybody I know around here has it. And it's an absolute great way to eat dove. It is. It's a little bit of work to get all the feathers off. We used to go for the briefly dip in boiling water and then dip in ice water method to get all the feathers off. Some people like that, some don't. But it is some work to get the two breasts off of the bird, but it's absolutely delicious.
So, Jared Cornett, would you try it? Would you go hunting, or would you eat them? What do you think?
I would definitely eat them. Yeah, and there's plenty of men in my church who go dove hunting, and that's a big thing here. And I'm sure if I asked them, I'm just not a hunter. I've never been a hunter. I've never gone hunting anything a day in my life. I got one guy in my church who talked about me going maybe mule deer hunting with him in New Mexico. You get in the back of these Jeeps, go about 80 miles an hour out in the desert, and hunt these mule deer down. That sounds really fun to me. I know everybody's different. I know you guys love hunting. I know dove hunting's different, but like deer hunting sounds just absolutely miserable to me. I would go. I'd go dove hunting, most likely, and I would definitely eat it. I'll try pretty much anything. If you've seen the stuff I've eaten overseas, dove seems very tame compared to a lot of things that I've eaten.
Well, one thing that we ran into in this part of the state, and now I think your season might be a little different down east, is, like you said, dove season always comes in Saturday before Labor Day, so that Saturday and Labor Day, the fields will just be full of dove hunters. And technically it's still in after that, but that next Saturday here, bow season comes in for deer. So you So you'll see men lining the fields this coming Saturday and on Labor Day. And then the next Saturday, even though dove season's in, nobody's out dove hunting because people are in the woods, you know, for opening day of bow season.
Yeah, definitely the case here. In North Carolina, we have three dove seasons, one in September through early October, another one that run in November, and then there's a late season, which is usually late December through all of January. I love late season hunting. It's colder. You don't have to deal with being outside in the heat, and birds fly all day long during the late season. Most folks that dove hunt, they'll hunt that Saturday, Monday, and never do it again until the next year. But again, it's not just about the hunting, and it's not just about the birds and how delicious they are, but the communal aspect of getting together, cooking together, shooting together. It's just a great recreation. Not that it takes place outside the South, but it's very, very important to all of our Southern states. They all have migratory doves. And so I encourage you, if you have the opportunity to go, even if you live in the city, you're not in a rural area like I'm in or JR is in. For like the state of North Carolina, the North Carolina Wildlife Commission plants a lot of fields on their dove land, on game lands. They plant them with sorghum and with wheat and with sunflowers to make opportunities for hunters. Some of them are permit hunts where you have to apply for a permit, but many are not. And so there's lots of opportunities to do hunting, even if you're not necessarily in a rural area with agrarian practices around you. It's still something that's very accessible and easy.
Just don't go dove hunting at a Pentecostal church that releases doves in their service. That could be a little bit dangerous for some folks. JR, tell everybody how they can stay in touch with us.
You can connect with us on Facebook, facebook.com/potluckpodcastSBC, on Twitter @potluckpodcast_, Instagram @potluckpodcastSBC, and you can email us potluckpodcastsbc@gmail.com. If you have a topic you'd like to hear us talk about, reach out to us. Let us know. We love to talk about listener topics, and be sure to leave us a review on iTunes and share this episode with one friend that you think would like it.
Well, friends, thanks again for joining us for another episode of the Potluck Podcast. Let us know, what name you want the SBC to be called. Leave it alone. Keep it the same. Change it up. And let us know how you prepare your dove, and let us know if you go dove hunting. We hope that you came and had your fill, had your full, and that you join us next time. Same Baptist time, same Baptist hour. Stay Baptist, my friends.